Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and as always, we're broadcasting live from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Before we get started, let's remind you to check us out on social media, Twitter. You can follow the network at Business Radio X, and you can follow today's program, Atlanta Business Radio, on Twitter at Atlanta BIZ Radio. Also, check us out on Facebook. Leave your thoughts and comments there, and we'll be posting up some pictures of our in-studio guests later today, and you can interact there. Without further ado, let's introduce today's guest, Chris Sims and Jessica Sims. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
All right. Very well.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us on a Monday. How was your weekend?
It was a great weekend.
Right?
I had a blast.
Good.
We were just talking about a dragon boat race that we participated in, which was a lot of fun.
Dragon boat racing.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it for charity, right?
We did. We did. It was down in LaGrange, Georgia, and it helped a women's shelter. So about 20 teams out there had a blast before Mother Nature came in and cut the activity short.
So you'll probably do it again next year, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, good, good. All right. Well, let's talk about a couple different things. First, your business, High Five Filter Company. Tell us about that, please.
So High Five Filter Company is a full-line distributor of HVAC air filters, as well as filters that are used in paint booth-type applications. So automobile or any type of product that may get some type of application before production. Mm-hmm. So we just started this company earlier this year, but it's been in the works for about, I don't know, honey, what would you say?
Six, 9 months.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 to 9 months ahead of time. So, you know, it was really a brainchild of a cousin of mine who is an engineer, and he builds the equipment that makes air filters. And so year upon year of going home to visit family and him kind of watching my medical device career kind of have these really big highs and these really big lows, just kind of looked at me and said, you know, this would be a really good industry for you to be a part of. It consistently grows. And there's not a lot of women inside the marketplace. So it should be something that you should check out. And so, you know, after about 6 or 9 months of Chris and I really trying to figure out how I wanted to end the last part of my career professionally, we knew that we had an opportunity, but we knew we wanted to tie it back towards something that would allow us to give back to the community. So High Five Filters was born. We brought on 5 different manufacturers that are kind of in various places across the country, but really wanted at the heart of it, wanted to provide 5% of all profits back towards veteran outreach programs. So we really wanted to set that in place from the beginning because, you know, an air filter is a commodity. They really haven't changed a lot in the last 20 years. So we really wanted to kind of position ourselves as somebody that could really come in and not only fulfill a need, but make people feel really good about the products that they're going to purchase anyway.
Yeah, filters, everyone has the need for them in their cars, their houses, their businesses, and such. So, Chris, what was your first exposure to this opportunity to get involved with High Five Filters?
It was really with, like Jessica said, with Brian. And yeah, he had spent probably a couple of years, like she said, talking about it and just planting the seed in her head. And then going through I'm doing an MBA program online and going through that. And we kind of use that as a vetting process to see if we could actually make money and if the company would work. And we thought it would. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think you're ever 100%. But so after that, we saw it should work and could work. So kind of decided to have Jessica quit her job. And January 1, we were off to the races, right, trying to sell as quick as we could.
Well, what was your job prior to this? You said you were in medical sales?
Mm-hmm. My career started in pharmaceutical sales and then did some medical device sales. And then my last job was a pharmaceutical job as well. So I've always been inside the medical community. I've always loved it. I've always liked taking really complicated things and make it very simple or be able to verbalize it. But, you know, I kind of reached that point professionally, mm-hmm, where it's like, what do I really, what's my mark?
Right.
What am I leaving behind?
So entrepreneurship started calling. Had you always had that in the back of your mind, or did you find that kind of later in life as you were more of a professional saying, you know what, I'm looking for another change?
You know, it really was later in life. I think, you know, when I was younger, I was very, I think like most young people coming out of college and thinking, you know, well, someone's got to run the company someday. Why not me? And I think as you tend to get older and your life tends to get more involved with family and children and, you want to work, but you really want to have more control over how you spend your time. And whether it's good or bad, some of this technology that we lean upon can sometimes cloud that, get in the way of you actually doing your job, being customer facing, et cetera. So I wanted to kind of take my destiny into my own hands.
Well, that's good to hear for sure. And like I said, filters are involved in all of our lives. And mm-hmm. so we got to make sure that we're putting the right filters in place in our homes, in our cars, in our offices that keep us healthy and keep us productive. So talk us a little bit. You said a full line of air filters. Tell a little bit more about that.
So when we first jumped into this, we obviously thought of the typical filter that we all change in our home, right? There's like a 1-inch pleated filter, a 2-inch, you know, you go to Home Depot, it's like in the back of the corner mm-hmm. of the store, and there's just, you know, rows and rows of filters, and you do your best to remember what size yeah. belongs in your
home.
You can
buy them at the drugstore, and they're like the hardware section at the drugstore, yes. they have a few filters, right?
So, Kroger.
Yeah.
So what we found out, and we are really, really fortunate that from the very beginning, there was a very large company out of Louisville, Kentucky named Cook Filters that was like, we're not really sure what you're trying to do, but we love everything you're saying.
Okay.
And then they handed us a binder of about 30,000 different type of air filters that they manufacture across 5 plants across the country. And we were like, whoa.
Yeah, that's a lot of filters.
Here's your filters.
Yeah.
Go.
And then what do? You know everybody needs them, but how do you get the word out to people that this is a better resource than Kroger or your local drugstore?
So I think with anything like Home Depot, Kroger, you're always paying. You're going to pay more going through that avenue. When we originally started this plan, I really liked the idea of going into the residential market. And if you've ever built a website, next more, I would say a high-level website, mm-hmm. you realize that going into an e-commerce site, especially when you inject 30,000 SKUs into it, it gets very expensive very quick. So that kind of crushed the residential side up front. And we decided to go into the industrial and commercial space, which has worked out well. But I mean, honestly, it's Jessica's sales experience and
yeah.
her lifetime of being in sales that kind of got this going, because she just started picking up the phone and, hey, here's who we are.
But you're selling to businesses now, not your consumers. You're looking for manufacturing plants, large office buildings, and everything in between to sell filters to.
We actually sat down with this office building.
Really? Lincoln Properties?
Columbia
Property Trust.
Yeah, good people. Very
okay.
nice.
And so you would just call them up and say, mm-hmm. hey, we're looking to, you know, service you, and you're giving you good filters on a regular rhythm, And that's how you make it work.
Yeah. And, it, you know, for a space that, you know, you're dealing with a lot of facility managers, facility engineers, you know, and people who usually own that title of being in charge of buying filters, replacing filters, mm-hmm. things like that, regardless of the title, half the time I was just very honest. I was like, you know, let me just see what you have. Show me what you have. Let me measure it. Let me take pictures and let me see what I can do. And the open door policies with so many of them, you know, like absolutely come on in. It was never, I never felt a need to be more than what, you know more than what I did know. They were very cool about being like, yeah, let me show you what we have. This is what we're looking for. And this is what our expectations are.
And that's gotta be a little challenging though. Maybe you experienced some of this in the medical space, but kind of walking in as a woman and being a woman business owner and talking filters, right? Not necessarily the most glamorous thing, but you seem certainly very knowledgeable about it all.
There's plenty of resources out there. I always tease that most of these companies have men who have dedicated their careers to this. They're engineers, and it's like the most over-engineered product in the world, and they can talk to you about microns till you're blue in the face, right? So there's always people who are willing to help. You just got to ask, and people will sit on the phone with you or do webinars with you and really get you up to speed and share their information with them that allows you to kind of be more confident walking into those sales calls.
Right.
I think being, for her especially, I mean, she is the sales team. Mm-hmm. Being a woman, walking into a space that's dominated by men and showing you that you're intelligent, you're interested in, you know, servicing them and helping them out, like they were, most people are very open arms about it.
That's good to know for sure. And so there's got to be a huge market then. What are some of the challenges that you're experiencing as you're trying to get the word out there?
Everyone needs an air filter.
Yeah, right. But so you just, I mean, it's got to be, there's a lot of noise in this space. So how do you get people to hear you?
There's a lot of noise in this space. And, you know, in the beginning, because it's mostly manufacturers that go through distributors like myself. So you can't really define all the customer bases. That a lot of it was just throwing spaghetti at the wall in the first couple months. Like, let's just see how conversations go. with, you know, mid to medium sized companies or property management companies, or, you know, just trying to figure out where we can kind of capture that low hanging fruit and mm-hmm. start the business model, but also show that we can do good customer service and grow with our customers as we grow and as they grow.
Right. We're talking with Chris Sims and Jessica Sims, owners of High Five Filter Company right here in the Atlanta metro area. If people are interested, you can go to highfivefilters.com for more information. You do have a pretty slick website, Chris. I have to say, I looked at it over the weekend and very informative, knowledgeable. Everything flows real nicely. What did that process like for you putting that whole website together?
Honestly, it was between Jessica and I and the company we hired out of Louisville.
Logic Media.
Mm-hmm. Logic Media. They pretty much did it all. I mean, they asked us what we wanted to look like, how we wanted to feel when you're on it. And I think I still remember Jessica saying, you know, I want it very clean, mm-hmm. very slick.
Right.
And
well, simple and educational as well.
Yeah. I think often people's websites get very cloudy and very busy, and it just takes away from the message you're trying to put out. So,
well, when you came time to build this website, how did you find this company out of Louisville? What was that process?
Well, I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky. And so me and the kids will actually be leaving on Wednesday to go visit family.
Okay.
And, we actually went to the same grade school.
So you had some connections right. through your past network.
Yes, through my past network. And, you know, you can't go wrong when you both grew up in a town, you know, size of 100 people back in the 80s. So
and
met, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe they had worked for Brian as well, who helped get us into this and kind of showed us the way. And so I think he recommended mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense. You want to do business with people you trust. You want to work with those who, you know, resonate with your mission as well. And so what's next for you and High Five Filters? Are you trying to, you know, conquer the world? I mean, what's the next step?
We'll try to conquer Atlanta. Yeah, maybe Sandy Springs.
Right, Sandy Springs first, right, in Atlanta.
You know, and it's been such a great learning process for me is that, you know, I've always enjoyed sales. I love that customer interaction. But it's also kind of highlighted my weaknesses too, and know where I need to ask for help, where it's more of that infrastructure. It's more building and projecting how do I grow and making smart decisions moving forward. So really the next step for me is spend more time doing what I love and start looking for people that can help me build and grow on the back end and do what they love, right?
Right. And you got to have a good team around
Correct.
You. It's very interesting that you guys work well together as a married couple. A lot of people would never, we interview entrepreneurs all the time here in the studio, would say, we'll never work with their spouse or what have you. But you guys have made it work. So any secrets to the do's and making that happen?
Separate offices.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't take it personal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't talk about office over dinner, or don't talk about work over dinner.
Well, I think that's a little challenging because especially anytime you own your own business, work never really stops. I think just being a little more patient, being a little more cordial and having a little thicker skin and being able to separate work from personal is key, but also a little bit more challenging.
Communication is very important. And Chris, your background, you have a military background, you served now in a lot of different capacities. How does that help you as a veteran-owned business, the communication and the planning of it all? Has any of that played into, you know, the launch and the development of the company?
I think it has. I mean, I think the follow-through is what has helped. Like, I think we've talked before. What's key in sales and in business is really just doing what you say you're going to do. But for my military background specifically, I think it's a couple of things. One, a lot of these guys, they just want to talk. And whatever you did in the Army, I mean, you could make $5 million a year, whatever you do. Mm-hmm. But those guys can never have the opportunity to have some of the experiences that we've had overseas. And mm-hmm. and so they really enjoy talking and helping out veterans. And I mean, it's obviously a big push right now. But also, I think on the military side, especially as you progress in your career, having a better understanding and ability to kind of step out of things and look at the big picture, not get so stressed out over little things and, just stay out of the weeds a little bit and kind of help push things in the direction that you see they need to go.
Right. And the communication again is very important. You know, never a day goes by in the military that you're not really communicated to what the mission of the day is, what the plan of the day is. So you have to do that in a business sense, I imagine, too. What are today's objectives? What are this week's objectives? Then where are we going to be a month from now? So how often do you guys have strategy planning sessions like that?
I think I typically just let her tell me what to do at this
That's
point.
That's always good. I mean, you're the colonel.
He lies. Yeah. I do not.
Right. No, but you've got to sit down and say, hey, this is our strategy for the week, the month, the rest of the year, this quarter. How do you do that? Do you have board meetings between you two? Or is it just over a plate of spaghetti on a Saturday night?
Yeah, it's really a good Google shared calendar of blocking off time of, hey, I need your undivided attention for this 2 hours, right, or I need to be gone so you and the kids are on your own, and just really making sure we're communicating in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, this summer, I'm not going to lie, it's been tough with the kids and camps and out of school.
Right.
And, you know, I never thought I would say that, but I will be that typical mom come school day, like high-fiving people in the neighborhood once those kids get on that bus.
Yeah, so making time, communicating clearly to one another, and then as you grow, hopefully adding some team members who kind of resonate with that same mission as well.
Correct. That's kind of what we're in the process of doing right now, is we've realized we've kind of we've used up the expertise that we have, and we've gone as far as we kind of are able to. So we've spent the last couple weeks now starting to vet and now bringing in a couple people that have expertise outside of what we have, whether it be in sales or the operation side. So,
have you had anybody along the way kind of mentoring you or helping you with business advice or guidance along those lines?
So we and I are very fortunate with the network of friends that we have. And we have friends from all walks of life. And when we started this thing, we put together more or less an advisory board. And I think we're probably due to have them to sit down with them again, but just people and friends from different walks of business and business owners and whatever. And we sat down with them and kind of laid out our plan and said, here's what we want to do. And they just shot holes in it. And I mean,
so they were your vetting, you know, kind of team, your sounding board for you.
Our own mini Shark Tank in a way.
Right.
That's exactly what it was.
And they're trusted advisors, friends, family members that you knew that they were giving you sound advice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our financial advisor to other business owners.
You know, and that's one thing, you know, as a sales professional, I tend to get very narrow on the sales. And I think what Chris does so well is he is a connector of people. He is the way he can tap people for their resources and their skill sets and learn things about people. And like, I had no idea that that person did that. He's like, you should really talk to him. Like, he's really good at that, because at the end of the day, people normally like to help other people, mm-hmm, particularly if they're doing something that they know, at the base of it, has a really good message and a really good cause.
Yeah, they want to do business with other people, mm-hmm, along those same lines, for sure. And then what about Atlanta? You know, what brought you here originally, Jessica?
The man sitting across the table.
Okay, so what brought you here, Chris?
So my family moved here when I was six.
Maybe pretty young.
Pretty young. So we moved to Atlanta from Miami and grew up here. So after, you know, years in the military, bouncing around all over the place, I more or less settled down in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Or Alabama, and then ended up meeting Jessica. And
then back to Atlanta. Yeah. And then you've been here growing your business, growing a family, growing your community, and you find that it's a great place to do all of that, right?
It really is. I mean, Atlanta, you know, when we first moved here, we had such young kids, and I think we weren't here 6 months before he deployed. And I remember feeling very overwhelmed in the city, but, you know, it's where we live, we're so fortunate. We know so many great people. And you're right. I mean, it really is a city that you could pretty almost do anything here, and the opportunity will present itself.
Yeah. And a lot of little communities around the larger metro area, we all come together to support those kind of hometown communities. But then we anywhere we go, I'm from Atlanta, but I mean, I kind of live in Alpharetta, but I mean, it's Atlanta, right? So we're very proud to have that. Were there any resources or ways or things you used here in Atlanta to kind of help launch the business? Or how do you find the Atlanta, you know, business development community being?
Probably the most, we tapped into several areas, but probably the most beneficial, I would say, was at Georgia Tech, mm-hmm, which is their procurement center. It's called the PAC Center. Mm. And, you know, they really work with small businesses to help them understand how you would procure, like, federal contracts. So whether it's state and local or federal contracts. So whether you're a minority-owned business, a woman-owned business, a veteran-owned business, they do an excellent job of truly laying out expectations. And we're there for every phone call, every meeting, moving forward.
And how'd you originally found out about that opportunity?
I'm trying to remember who told us about that.
I think it was Chloe.
Probably.
So you found out word of mouth, then you investigated a little yourself, and you said, this is exactly what we need. And what type of program is it? You go down there, how often, how long?
They have classes, I think, almost on a weekly basis on a variety of topics that would interest a small business owner or somebody that works for, I'm sure other companies that send their representatives down there that are looking to get into other spaces. They're free classes. You just kind of got to show up and learn.
Right.
And, I mean, like Jessica said, they're exceptional about helping and emailing, keeping an open dialogue with you.
Yeah. And that's good to know. We do know Atlanta's rich in those kind of educational and learning opportunities out there for small business owners. And you guys are a veteran-owned business, a woman-owned business, a married couple-owned business. That should be a separate category, I think. And you guys have that. You said you're currently studying for your MBA online. You know, you're caring for a busy household. But if that wasn't enough, ladies and gentlemen, they have another organization, a 501c3, that they're helping the cystic fibrosis with, and that's Fitness Fueling Awareness. Tell me about that, Jessica.
We sound so busy.
I know.
Well, Fitness Fueling Awareness kind of started a few years ago, and I should let Chris tell the story, but it really was his exposure through owning a CrossFit gym and being invited up to Boston and New Hampshire to compete in a CrossFit competition with a member from the gym who was born and raised in that area. So they put together a team because they were helping raise money for cystic fibrosis. Our friend and gym member also has two nieces who suffer from the disease.
Which is a lung disease, right? Which fluid in the lungs, I believe, and
correct.
Makes it hard to breathe.
And gastrointestinal type issues. And so you're born with it. And so, Chris went to go and have a good time and compete. And when he came home, he was really kind of blown away by a disease that would limit some child from being able to run or jump or do all the things that he remembers growing up. And so he wanted to get behind it because, people always ask him, like, why not focus on military type initiatives and things like that? And he was like, I've chose my path. I chose to go into the Army and I've made those decisions as an adult. And here are some kids.
Didn't have a choice.
That never had that choice. And the toll that it would take on a family, us having a young family at the time when we started this, like, I couldn't imagine. It's hard enough. And then throw in, a disease of that nature. So he partnered with Emory and Children's, which is the second largest research institution here in the country around cystic fibrosis. And what are we on, year three, year four?
I think this is 5 years of raising money. I think 4 years of actually being a company, a nonprofit. But I mean, Jessica's actually right. I mean, I think the thing that hit home for me, I think as it would for any other parent, was how fortunate I felt having two small kids that were, they were perfect. There's nothing wrong with them. And then how hard it would be to deal with, a child that whether it's autism or whether it's CF or any child, cancer, whatever the disease is. But cystic fibrosis kind of stuck with me just because it became a connection through friends and now family. So,
and most people are kind of inspired or impassioned by, a personal story. This is one you kind of went out into the wild and found on your own, but then were totally moved by to create not only a foundation behind this to raise awareness and money for, but now here you are 3-5 years later. And what are differences from running a not-for-profit business and running a for-profit business?
There's no difference. It's a lot. Well, I mean, there is, in a non-for-profit, you're just basically telling people to give you money. And most of the time they tell you to go away. But, I really, as far as running the business, there's not much of a difference. You have to rely on other people. You have to set up a good team, which we've done well sometimes and failed at sometimes. But I mean, like this year, you cannot do it all on your own. It's just too much. So
yeah, and your organization is to encourage athlete participation from a local community causes. So what are some of the events that you're able to do?
So we really have two events a year. Because I would say with anybody looking to raise money or start a 501c3, if you start hounding people on a weekly basis all year, they just get tired.
They'll
of it.
They'll unsubscribe from your email.
Yeah, and they just turn on, they just mute you.
Yeah.
So we've generally done, and this year we did two events. We do like a CrossFit event, being that I do own a CrossFit gym here in East Cobb. And then on the last Monday of every July, we do a golf tournament. And this year, it's a golf and tennis tournament. So this year, it's on July 25th, and we do it over at Indian Hills. And sell raffle tickets for prizes. And
so it's just right up around the corner. You're probably ramping up and planning for that big event.
Yeah, we are. We are on the rapidly approaching the downhill slope. So
right. And how many participants are you expecting this year? Is you have a goal for raising funds this year?
So we had a goal of 25 foursomes in golf. I think we're at about 12, 11 right now. But I think that's typical of all these events. Like typically people will sign up at the last moment. Mm-hmm. And then on the tennis side, you know, I think we're at 16 or 17 tennis players right now. But
are you going to be playing golf or tennis yourself?
I am not, no. Unfortunately. It's hard to do that. The first year we had this golf tournament, the team I was on, we won the golf tournament, and then I had the longest drive. And when you sit up there and you're announcing awards, you're like, and longest drive goes to me. Myself. And the winning team, I'll be accepting it. So I don't think I'll be playing in the event anymore. Well, yeah.
And then you have another one, you said twice a year. So will there be another event after July?
No, so it's basically, we did a CrossFit competition at our gym and got other CrossFit gyms involved and people really from around the country this time, and just raised money and did some stupid events to raise money. I think I don't know if you ever saw the picture, but Jason and I placed a bet that I couldn't win and ended up losing and had to wear a pink tutu for like a workout. But we raised like $2,500 in about 12 hours.
So they liked it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They were hesitant at first, but they got a big smile on their face once the tutus got on.
That's awesome.
Yep. So CrossFit event, and then we did the golf tournament in July.
So if people wanted to get involved or give back to that organization, how would they do so?
Well, there's two ways. We have a Facebook page, which is Fitness Feeling Awareness, and you can find all the information on there about the location for the golf tournament, as well as the website, which is it's a CrowdRise website. So it's www.crowdrise.com/fitness fueling awareness.
And that's a great way to stay up to date about what's going on, get involved. If you have a personal story or something along those lines to share, a great outlet for you to connect with Jessica and Chris. And if they wanted to learn more about High Five Filters, how would they do so?
That one's easier to say. So that's just www.highfivefilters.com. On there, they can just submit questions. My direct line is on there as well as Chris's. Just give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Very good. And last question, Chris, what do you like to do in your off time around Atlanta when you're not changing the world of cystic fibrosis and filters?
That's a little dramatic, but I think, you know, we hang out with family, having a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. I love to shoot.
Okay.
And as we talked about before, hunting is...
Don't you have a big trip coming up?
I do. So I'm heading out to Alaska in September. Me and a hunting partner are heading out there and getting dropped off inside the Arctic Circle for 2 weeks. And
hope to catch a caribou or something like that.
Yeah, I'm shooting a caribou and hopefully a wolf.
All right.
And then my hunting partner's, he is going to go after a moose. And I'm sure he'll draw a black bear tag or something like that as well.
Very cool. Well, very heard it, folks. You can find Chris working hard behind his big desk over there at the High Five Filter headquarters, or you may not find him at all because he's out in the tundra of Alaska. But thanks for joining us here today on Atlanta Business Radio. Look forward to more great things from you in the future.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, what I was going to ask you, what do you like to do when you're off time, when he's out in the wilderness, or what are some fun things that you like to do to kind of unwind and take your mind off things?
That's a great question.
I'll save it for last. That's
For me, honestly, I enjoy running. I enjoy trail running.
Trail running?
Yes, because there's lots of hills and I don't run up hills. So it's just trail running / walking. I find it, we're so fortunate where we live in East Cobb down there by the Chattahoochee. Mm-hmm. There's so many wonderful trails. I enjoy just kind of escaping out there, maybe take a dog with me and just kind of get lost for a couple hours.
Because you got to do that every once. You got to go recharge your batteries, get inspired, so you can come back and sell more filters to people, right?
Right.
So very good. So remind our listeners again, highfivefilters.com. Are you on social media at all? Or
not yet.
Not yet. Look for that soon,
ladies and
gentlemen.
Yes, that will be coming up soon. That's one of those tasks that you need to pass on to someone who's better than you.
Looking to hire a social media guru over there at highfivefilters.com. Well, thank you both, Chris Sims, Jessica Sims, for joining us here today on Atlanta Business Radio. If your company is out there doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page at atlantabusinessradio.com and pitch us your story. Thank you to Lee Cantor and Stone Payton. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.